Adam of Grayskull. When good is threatened by the power of Eternia, I was summoned to the future by the last of mankind to defend them in their hour of need. But my old enemy, Skeletor, followed me. Now, here in the future, he has found new allies to help him in his never-ending fight against all that is good. Yet on Primus, I too have found new brave friends and a new family. Thus, with the power of the good and the way of the magic, we struggle against the forces of darkness. Good against evil. The battle continues.
Hello, this is Optimus Solo, and welcome to the 89th chapter in our Powers of Grayskull series. With me for this journey into the Masters of the Universe franchise is, of course, TFG and Mike. Hello.
89 in a row. Whoops, wrong franchise.
We're getting closer and closer to a milestone here on Pogs. Inching our way, if we can make it, if we can last, we might be able to get all the way up to at least episode 100 here. If this doesn't kill us on the way to that.
At this point, the mediocrity of this show is going to kill me. It's not even the bad parts. It's just the, okay, that's forgettable.
Yeah, give us something to rant about. I might have a rant today, so you can hold your breath for that. So, are you ready for another trip to space?
No.
Okay, well, if you're ready or if you're not ready, it's going to happen. Because in this episode of Masters in Space, we're going to be giving you our thoughts on the next three episodes of The New Adventures of He-Man, which would be episode 19, Juggernaut, episode 20, Fading Star, and episode 21, Skeletor's Revenge. So we hope you're ready. Time to go back to space.
Isn't that Professor X's brother? Juggernaut. 92 X-Men series. Come on now.
You know I don't watch that stuff.
You should.
Instead, I watch The New Adventures of He-Man. All right, we gotta go to space.
Yeah, no, X-Men is so much better, and there are really bad parts of the 92 X-Men series.
It's a space, boy wonder. It's a space.
No, no space for you.
All right, first up today is episode 19, Juggernaut, air date somewhere around September 18th, 1990, written by Jim Carlson and Terrence McDonnell. A girl travels alone in a spaceship by the universe and is brought to Primus. However, the harmless child is, in truth, a dangerous cyborg under Skeletor's orders to bring down the defensive shield around Primus. What did you think about this juggernaut of an episode?
Lackluster at best, mediocre, middle ground, like nothing. Like, at first I thought, oh no, a really, really bad kid episode. And then it turns out, hey, she's a robot, she ain't real. Oh god. This one wasn't, like I said, it's very much middle ground. There really is no, like, Skeletor is always going to be Skeletor in this series for me. He's always going to be great. Any lines, anything that Skeletor does is fine. But, like, nobody else really stood out, either good or bad. The plot is just kind of there. Like, I don't want to go too far into my Castle Grayskull moments or power or whatever the hell we're calling them in these, but it's like one of those things where it's like, oh, they actually did try their best to come up with a decent plan to destroy the planet instead of just going down there and shooting at people. But other than that, it's nothing that made me mad, but it's nothing that I ever want to go back and ever see again.
Yeah, that's for sure. I mean, it's definitely interesting that we got this random person, you know, that's flying in a spaceship, and it's kind of a complex plan from Skeletor. He's had a few of those kind of more complicated, complex, layered plans, so you got to give him that, I guess. But, yeah, it's interesting, but the plot's interesting on surface value. I did not feel like this one was executed very well, though.
No.
It's just not a good episode overall, and I just think, I don't know, it's one of those that has two writers, and I don't think that was a beneficial thing, that there was two different people throwing ideas at this one, so it's just...
Which is weird, because I've been complaining since we started this show, more writers, different writers, not just Olesker, and we finally have some, even though it's a two-writing team, we finally have someone other than Jack Olesker, and it's like they just phoned it in.
Yeah. pretty much. And the other thing that almost bothered me right from the beginning is, at first I thought they said Adora.
Yeah, I'll talk about that later.
So that was
problematic. I will definitely talk about that
let's
later.
Let's take a quick break then, and we'll come back and give our moments that we liked and disliked and get more into this Adora Vedora issue.
I think it's time for She-Ra. For the honor of Grayskull!
All right, let's get into some Palace of Eternos and some Snake Mountain moments. Where do you want to start, sir? The good, the bad, what do you think?
Let's go with the ugly.
All right.
All right, let's get this hat situation out of the way first. Okay, well, like you said earlier, I also thought they said Adora. And I'm like, because my first thing was, oh shit, the Star Child. No, 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 no. Because I swear to God, I thought they pulled that shit out of Filmation with the Star Child. And then come to find out her name is Fedora. Well, hello, a fedora is something you wear on your head. It's not something you call your kid.
I couldn't decide if they were saying Fedora or Vedora with a V.
I thought it was an F.
I couldn't tell. It sounded different every time somebody said the name. And at first, I'm like, oh my god, they're going to try to bring Adora into this. But I'm like, but that's going to really piss me off because this chick has like two eyes. Yeah. Two pupils in each eye.
That was weird.
I'm like, how are they going to try to tie that in? And then I realized they were saying something else. Vedora, Fedora, something like that. And then it turns out that she's a damn android anyways. So that just threw me off. Like, why would you pick that name? That's so close to a character that's already existed in the franchise. That seems weird to me.
Yep. But
I will stop intruding. What else did you have that you didn't like or that you did like?
That was pretty much it. The Fedora, okay. Adora, and oh shit, the Star Child. As far as like stuff, I love that this was pretty much just an Adam episode at first. Like, he even specifically says, oh, I can't transform into He-Man here. You know, he actively points it out, and I love that in the landing scene in the beginning of the episode when they're trying to guide the Star... I'm just going to call it the Star Child. It's a better name than Fedora or Vedora or whatever. The music. I love the music in that scene when they're trying to get the landing. And like I said earlier, you know, Skeletor actually has a decent plan for once.
Yeah. He's a smart Skeletor in this one sometimes. So Man, I didn't really have anything that I liked, though, in this episode, besides the complex plan a little bit. But to me, this episode was just, in general, very boring.
Yeah.
So, I just didn't get excited about anything. I didn't think the action was that great. I mean, there's some fun parts where she's, like, throwing He-Man around like a rag doll, or Adam around like a rag doll, etc. But, I don't know, it just seemed weird the way that she ran in and they didn't realize she's a robot and they're like, oh, He-Man's abusing you or some type of whatever they're trying to say. And I just didn't want to listen to her be the damsel in distress one more time in this episode. So I was bored. That's all I have to say. I was bored. What about the hardware? Do you have power swords or havoc staffs?
I'm trying to see here. I have Skeletor. Skeletor always gets a power sword.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I give Skeletor a power sword for coming up with some type of a decent plot, but that's about all I can give out for this episode. And for a rating, I'm sitting at 2 out of 5. For this one, it's below average.
3. It's very middle ground. It's very forgettable. Like I said earlier, there's nothing that pissed me off that I really had to go lower to go to the extreme. Because if I'm going extreme on these cartoons for this series, it's either going to be a 0, a 0.5, or a 1. There's very, 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 very little anything on the negative scale that will get me above a 2 if it's all negative for me. And this wasn't really all negative. It was I almost fell asleep. It was so fucking boring.
Yeah, that's pretty much where I was at. So a 2 and a 3, not a great start to today. Let's see if after the break we can liven things up with episode 20, which is a Fading Star.
Get ready for action-packed excitement as the most powerful man in the universe comes to television in a fantastic world of dragons and sorcery. Join He-Man and the Masters of the Universe right here Monday through Friday. They'll be coming your way soon. He-Man and the Masters of the Universe.
All right, next up is episode 20, Fading Star, air date around September 19th, 1990, written by Stephen J. Fisher. After many years, the old Western held Dukin returns to Primus. He believes the fact that he is still unbeatable and looks for a challenge with Skeletor. However, Skeletor is not playing fair and leaves the old person no chance in the fight. Who writes this shit? He-Man must intervene before it is too late. What do you think about this Western-styled episode?
Oh, boy. It's okay, but Westerns, to me, it doesn't matter that this show is, what, 27, 28, however, like 27 years old, that this series came out in 90 or so. Yeah. Like, it doesn't matter to me. Westerns are always, anytime anyone references a Western or tries to do a Western, it's always going to be the cliche of the original Westerns, John Wayne, whatever the hell. It doesn't really matter to me. And I'll say my other things when we get to the good and bad moments about that, but it's just one of those things where it's like, somebody get some spaghetti, because, wow, this really is a Western.
I mean, if someone better were have to written this plot synopsis, and I just read this, and there was something along the lines of, you know, an ancient, or not ancient, but an old member of Primus, you know, is found, is rejuvenated, is brought back to life, you know, somebody from the past, and he decides to go after Skeletor. Like, that alone, just a reading of that would have me interested.
Yeah.
Like, there's somebody from the planet's past, he's gonna pick a fight with Skeletor. I'm on board with that, just on the surface value of a plot synopsis, so...
Yeah, and you know, like you said, it's a legendary figure according to the Primus people and Master Sabrian and all of that, and everybody's looking up to him. But the downside to that is, and again, this isn't in my good or bad moments, it's just talking about the plot. The downside to that is everybody shits all over He-Man or Adam because, hey, this old guy who used to be a hero came back. That's the standard old guy legendary hero thing. Right. Plot that just no.
I think it might have been better if he wasn't as old. Like, I think it would have been better if he was like somewhat similar age to He-Man, and it was like, well, I used to be the hero, and I used to be the young buck, and everything. And but now he's trying to like come to terms with a planet he doesn't know and technology he doesn't know and stuff like that. And so he's like, oh, I'm no longer a hero because it's a different time. Not, I'm no longer a hero because I'm old as dust.
Yeah, I mean, like, okay, so. Have you ever seen, and you probably haven't, but I know a bunch of other listeners probably have you ever seen Batman the Animated Series episode, The Grey Ghost?
No.
Okay, well, The Grey Ghost was Bruce Wayne's, it's essentially a role that they created for Adam West to voice the character, to have the whole Batman connection thing. So it's Kevin Conroy as the BTAS Batman Bruce Wayne, and Adam West as The Grey Ghost. And The Grey Ghost was, like... I know you've seen Batman 89, right?
Yes.
Remember when they were coming out of the movie thing? This is that kind of a thing where they've created a backstory for Bruce Wayne Batman in the series that the Grey Ghost was his childhood hero, yada, yada, yada. Right. So the guy that played in the Grey Ghost was a TV show, just like the 66 show was a TV show and all this and all that. So the guy shows up. He's not like old and decrepit, but he's maybe... mid-50s, early 60s, somewhere around there. Like, if they had made this old coot that age or something, like think of the older, like, Dark Knight Returns Batman. Like, he's older, he's gruffer, right. Like, that would have been fine, but the problem with doing a, like, for this character, I think the problem for doing that is that this series is not, like, you couldn't do older and gruffer. You'd have to do older and slightly frailer, but it didn't have to be as old as this guy was.
Right, he looks like he should be out prospecting for gold or something. So, yeah.
There's gold in them thar hills.
I think it was a good idea. I think there was just a few things that maybe could have been made it even a little bit better, but I don't have a problem with the plot. So, any other thoughts on the plot before we take a break and get to the good and the bad?
It's the only thing I wrote down for the general thoughts on the plot was it's just kind of there. It's just an it's not a boring episode. It's not an exciting episode. It's just an episode more so for like background noise when you're going to be vacuuming or cleaning or dusting or whatever.
No, we'll have to just wait and see if I agree or disagree with that statement right after the break. All right, we're back to talk about the good and the bad of this episode. And I'm going to have to disagree slightly with what you said before because, I mean, slightly agree and slightly disagree because you said it's not boring. I agree with that part. You said it's not exciting. I guess it's not exciting, but I do think this is an overall good episode for me. So I did enjoy it more than just the episodes that are just kind of blah right in the middle that we've been getting a ton of. I like the plot of finding someone from Primus's past. I like the angle of Gleep knowing Dukin.
Mm-hmm.
Since he's an android, it makes sense that he would have been around back then. But it does cause a little bit of problem because Dukin doesn't seem to know
Gleep
technology very well.
Yeah.
Gleep and Stutter. So some of that's a little bit off. Here's a thought. Give me more of the droids and less scientists.
Yes, absolutely, yes.
Because I like Gleep.
Yeah.
And I like the droids that have been involved. So let's replace the scientists with just droids, and we don't need to have the scientists unless it's an episode that really calls for it. So that's what I liked. Anything you liked?
Yeah, I was waiting for a specific line from a specific movie that came out the same year. But sadly, neither Adam nor He-Man said the line, "Why do we have to cut these things so damn close?" Because I got a very Back to the Future 3 feel from this episode. The whole Western thing. Or, if you want to go 6 years or 7 years into the future, a very Beast Wars Coming of the Fusors two-parter episode. Because Coming of the Fusors was when Silverbolt and all of them joined, and there was this Western kind of thing in that episode where, you know, the Western showdown thing. So that's on the positive side. Like I said, this episode is just... It is exciting, I do agree, but it's not, like, as exciting. Like, it's just a Western. And I say that because I've never really been into the old Western movies because they go so slow. Oh my god, they go slower than the sloth from Zootopia. At times. So, yeah, I mean...
I think that's a good comparison, the Back to the Future 3, because it feels just as out of place in that movie, seeing Marty McFly and Doc and all that in Western garb, as it does seeing Skeletor in Western garb. So, I'm just not sure about the Wild West motif. I don't think that was a necessary thing. I think we could have had someone from his past that more so fit into that world still. Like,
yeah,
you could believe that he's from this past. This guy looks like he's from Earth's past, not Primus's past. So I have a slight problem with that. I also enjoy the whole idea that there's the holodeck, the hologram room.
Hologram, yeah.
But I don't like the fact that they immediately open with a hologram of Dukin, and then we just happen to come across Dukin.
And like, then they have they show him, the kid, Kaz, shows him a hologram. Oh, Skeletor is our greatest enemy, and I bet you could defeat him, because He-Man, again, the whole old guy love over He-Man, whatever, but, like, so they show this hologram of Skeletor, and then somehow, I guess Skeletor was watching. We didn't see this part because, like, 10 seconds later, or maybe a minute and a half later, Skeletor, real hologram Skeletor, appears and challenges the old coot. And I'm like, you've got to be kidding me.
Yeah, one thing we have to realize in this series that I've been noticing more and more is that no matter where you are on this planet, everybody is watching. Because they always have screens that they're monitoring things, or they can see things or hear things or know things when they shouldn't. So I don't know where the cameras are, but they're everywhere.
Yeah.
And then I like the fact that they just randomly inserted a new bad guy. They don't call his name. They don't say anything. But there's a bad guy in Skeletor's posse that has never been seen before.
Huh. I must have missed that.
At least I've never seen it before, and it's very hard to describe, so I'm not going to try to do it. But it just seemed like they randomly inserted one. He doesn't speak. They don't give him a name, but he's there. So I was like, that's kind of odd. But so I think, like I said, I think this episode has a lot going for it. I just think you take the foreshadowing out a little bit, you take the Wild West motif out, and just make it a prior time period in Primus,
mm-hmm.
where they just don't have the quite as good of technology or something, or make it, you know, I don't know, some other shortcoming outside of I want to do an old-fashioned duel and you're not going to follow the rules. I think this would be a great episode, but instead it's just a good episode. So anything else for bad or good moments from you?
Nope.
All right, for Power Swords, I'm going to give one to Dukin just because he's still fun. Like, I don't necessarily need the West motif, but he's still fun. I like He-Man because he's a steady force and he needs to get more credit than he did during this episode, so I'll give him some.
Yeah.
And Gleep, I'll give Gleep a Power Sword. So that's three for me. That's a lot. What about you?
I'll give He-Man, Gleep, and Skeletor Power Swords. Because, I mean, Skeletor in Western wear, while it's not needed, it actually enhanced his costume even more.
what about any Havoc staffs for you?
Nah.
All right. I actually like this episode overall, so I'm going to be all the way up to a 4 on this one.
3.5.
All right. So better than the last episode. We both increased our score. We'll have to see if that continues as we head to episode 21, Skeletor's Revenge, next.
Thus, with the power of the good and the way of the magic.
All right. Last up is episode 21, Skeletor's Revenge, somewhere around October 15th, 1990, written by David Bennett and Larry Carroll. Using a virus, Skeletor brings down the total computer network of Primus and also the defense screen. He-Man lets himself into the computer in order to deal with the virus and try to save the planet. I'll let you go first because I know you have something to say about this episode's plot.
Hey, look, it's Tron!
And
whatever the other one was, I don't remember.
Kremzeek?
Oh, yes, Kremzeek. except he was green. That's not cool. But yes, Kremzeek from Transformers. Yeah, we did. I don't even think we made a Transformers reference in the last two episodes.
I made it.
Oh,
no, I mean, I made it in this episode.
That's yeah, no, I know. I'm saying the last two cartoons right. Today, not saying the last podcast episode.
I know, but it's weird that I would be the one coming up with the Transformers reference. But this is like straight.
Well,
out of the
Transformers. You are a Transformers fan, so I mean, it wouldn't be that weird.
This plot is so lifted from like five different things.
Yeah, it is.
It is lacking in originality big time. Like,
yeah, it is.
Number one, there's the aspect of putting some type of virus in the computer, like some type of beast or some type of critter, or some type of animal, whatever.
I got a second Transformers reference then, because we have Kremzeek as the little thing, and then the computer virus thing, Torque 3 from Generation 1, from like Season 1 or so. Yep.
Then there's also all the stories that we've seen before where people get miniaturized and put inside something to try to fix it, which also came from Transformers. So either David Bennett or Larry Carroll really likes Transformers or something, because this is David Wise, and I don't remember who did the other episode. David Wise did Kremzeek. I don't remember who did the one where they get small and go inside.
Torque 3, Day of the Machines. I don't remember off the top of my head, no.
They were either friends with those people, or they just liked those episodes or something, because it's literally a combination of those two episodes. And not saying that there's not other series out there that did similar things as well, and not saying that Transformers was the first to maybe tackle some of those ideas, but this seems... So the way they're executed also makes it seem like it was completely lifted out of those episodes. So I am a big thumbs down on the plot on this one. What about you?
Was this Larry Carroll or Jay Larry Carroll?
It's probably the same guy, I'm guessing.
Okay. Because I'm trying to see other things that the dude wrote.
And it's hard to tell, you know, when there's a two... person credit, like which one did most of the
stuff.
Sometimes one person.
Okay, well, it does say, yep, Skeletor's J. Larry Carroll, Skeletor's Revenge, and then he wrote another one, A Plague on Primus. So those are his two episodes from this. The crazy thing is, J. Larry Carroll, Fievel's American Tales TV series, Beyond Reality, All New Dennis the Menace, Where on Earth is Carmen Sandiego, Silverhawks, G.I. Joe, TNG, Star Trek, Turtles in 89, Camp Candy, Super Mario Brothers Super Show, Thundercats, Cops, you know, Brave Star. I mean, oh God, She-Ra. That's right.
Yeah.
Swift. Oh, the Swifties, baby, Ryder. Are you kidding me? He actually. This is not that bad of an episode at all. The only thing I. Well, yeah. I'll
Save let those
you
thoughts.
Yeah, I'll transition. Yeah. Right, or you transition.
I give the big thumbs down to the plot because I've seen it too many times before.
Yeah.
But maybe it's gonna execution will surprise me. We'll get back after the break and see if it's actually good or bad. With the power of the good and the way of the magic. Last time today, we're gonna go to the palace and the mountain. What do you have for either place?
No palace, just mountain.
Oh, just mountain. Well, I'll give some palace moments out then first. I think Artilla looks cool.
And he does, yeah.
It fits that we have a Transformer in this episode.
Yes.
So, I mean, he looks exactly like a Transformer.
Yeah, he does.
He looks like one of the Autobots in Generation 1. I'm not for sure which one he would match up best with, but one of the cars he definitely matches up with. And he just looks like a little bit more pale version of that. So we have a Transformers plot, and the writers also said, well, because we're doing this, let's get a Transformer character in here. So that's great. But I do think he looks cool, so I'll give him that as a positive. And it was fun seeing the villain sunbathing and ordering Gleep around, so I thought that was kind of funny. Any Snake Mountain moments for you?
Those damn scientists. Can we just kill them all? Please? Like, it doesn't even matter what they do. Just those damn scientists.
Yes.
So I have a question for you.
Yes.
The computer operator dude, the one that said he wanted revenge on
Micros.
Blah, blah. Yeah, Micros. Okay, so Micros. It should be, like, why is the episode called Skeletor's Revenge? Because Skeletor really isn't out for revenge. Micros, like He-Man didn't, like, ruin Skeletor's plot. Well, he ruined Skeletor's plot in every episode. But, like, in the beginning of this episode, He-Man didn't do anything to Skeletor in order for Skeletor to want revenge. And the only person that even mentions revenge is Micros.
So they should have called this either Micros Revenge or Kremzeek.
Yes, Kremzeek. I agree.
Other mountain moments for you?
Nope, that's it.
Okay, I have a few.
Okay.
Number one, obviously, the Kremzeek thing, I already talked about that.
Yeah.
The difference is, in the Transformers episode, they insert an energy beast into the energy lines, computers, power, et cetera, et cetera. That somehow, at least in the cartoon world of fantasy science fiction, makes sense, because it's inside electrical panels and circuits, and it's electricity that's kind of bonded together.
Right? Mm-hmm.
Here, somehow, we have to explain the physics that they put a bug in the computer, and it's actually a freaking physical beast.
Yeah.
It's actually a physical, like, monster beast, the pet thing. So I don't understand that. Like, how does that work? So I have a big problem with that. It should have been something energy-wise or some type of, like, artificial intelligence. It should not be an actual animal. So, and its name is Argy, and it's kind of annoying. So...
Yeah. It's, yeah, very annoying.
I just... the scientists are annoying. The fact that this is not either an AI or an energy... beast is annoying. The title of the episode is annoying. The fact that it's a Transformers plot with a Transformers character in here seems lazy. And I just think that the writers wanted to be writing on a different show and they instead inserted this into the New Adventures of He-Man.
Mm-hmm.
So boo to all of that. So Havoc Staffs for me, they're both writers. I don't care if J. Larry Carroll has a lot of experience and has written some other things, the good and bad and the ugly or whatever, but not good here, and I don't know the other guy, so I give him one anyways. What about you? Any Havoc Staffs?
Scientists. Always the damn scientist.
That's good, too. I will give a power sword to Artilla, because, like I said, it's a Transformer-looking guy. I'll always give them props, so thanks for breaking. This is the first crossover between He-Man and Transformers, I guess. And another one for Gleep.
I'll give one to Gleep and to Skeletor, because that was just funny.
You know, we talked about a lot of these episodes kind of being in the middle of the road. It's neither bad nor good. They're somewhat boring or somewhat entertaining, but there's basically just all between about a 2 and a 3.5. This is not one of them. This was garbage to me. I give it a 1.
I give it a 1.5.
All right. So not a good way to end today with a 1 and a 1.5 for Skeletor's Revenge is the title of the episode. That's all I have to say about that. We're going to take one more break when we come back. Gonna wrap this episode up.
I was having serious problems in the bedroom and in the car, and on the bus. But I couldn't help but think there had to be something out there for people suffering just like me.
Podcast dysfunction affects 6 out of 7 cinema geeks out there, but there is help. The Simplistic Reviews Podcast.
Symptoms of the Simplistic Reviews Podcast may include loss of sleep, loss of hair, longer erections, lost family get-together, bleeding of eyes, ears, and anus, divorce, hated by town folk, rash, the ability to drink alcohol and podcast at the same time, mansplaining, weight gain, weight loss, people with severe podcasting games, depression, happiness, growth of boobs and hair on chest, constant peeing, watery eyes, and 3 additional inches on your penis, and if you don't have a penis, you will now.
Thanks to the Simplistic Reviews Podcast, I'm no longer bored in the bedroom. Plus, I have a perpetual erection. Although I think I'm going blind.
The Simplistic Reviews Podcast. A small price to pay for entertainment.
Hello, geeks and geekettes. Looking for a podcast that covers a vast array of topics? Then check out Altered Geek Unleashed, where we discuss our thoughts on this week's geeky news, tech, gaming, television shows, movies, cartoons, comics, and more. So, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks, every Friday on the GeekCast Radio Network.
It's Showtime Synergy. The latest review podcast from the GeekCast Radio Network is here. So join TFG1 Mike, Nicole Hailstorm, and myself, Lady Rec, as we will be reviewing all 65 episodes of Joe and the Holograms in a 25-episode-long podcast. You can find Showtime Synergy on iTunes and GeekCastRadio.com. We are the truly outrageous podcast that you want to be listening to.
So episode 89 in the bag. How many do we have left before this shit is over with?
You put me on the spot. What is it, like 18 left?
I don't know. You're supposed to be the one, the master mathematician.
The Mr. system, I don't know.
Educator over there.
Let's see, this is 7 down, so this is 18 left.
Okay, good. There you go. Can't go quick enough, because, yeah, when we get to... I'm telling you, folks, you think we were all negative in Filmation between He-Man and She-Ra? I'm more negative here than I was there, and we're going to be...
It's going to make us sound way more positive on the final.
Well, we are going to be, and that's going to make us sound like... No, we are going to, because the final thing is way better than this crap. Yeah, so thank you for joining us today here inside the Masters in Space or whatever the hell. If you'd like to get in contact with us, leave feedback for the show. There's several ways to do so. Visit the website geekcastradio.com where you can comment on this and all of our other episode posts from this show and all the other shows. Leave the show's feedback in iTunes. Please do this. Follow us on Twitter at geekcastradio is the network Twitter. You can follow at Pow of Grayskull for the show Twitter. I am at TFG1Mike. What is your Twitter?
Mine is at Optimus Solo, and please do comment on the website or iTunes or whatever. I'd really like to see if people are enjoying or not enjoying us talking about the new adventures of He-Man. I'm interested.
We're looking at you, Silver. become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/GeekCastRadioNetwork. We hope you enjoyed the Space Tales today, and don't forget to join us in our next adventure when we will take a look at the next 3 episodes of the new adventures of #NotMyHeMan. Which include the Mind Lens, Adam's Adventure, and Collision Course. We're on a collision course with this friggin' TV series. That's what we're on. Oh my god. For now, I am TFG and Mike with...
Something we haven't heard for a while. The power and the magic and the mighty and the whatever.
No, you are not mighty, you are not magical, and you are not powerful. Hello, I am TFG... For now, I am TFG and Mike with...
Optimus Solo.
Thank you. One. Yes, no, not really. By the power and for the honor and whatever way of magic, way of... We don't even know where that sword is.
They need to say it again in an episode coming up.
Yeah, well, they say it in the friggin'...
I skip that.
Yeah. I sadly don't, so...
Till next time.
Till next time, folks. Episode 90, yay! That means we get 10 till 100.
We can hear
less. Everything with this show should be less.
Thus, with the power of the good and the way of the magic,
maybe you should play something else.
See?
Thank you.
epic fail.